current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, May 22nd, 2020, otherwise 22-2020. Lots of twos and lots of zeros and lots of fun, hopefully,
yeah,
on today's
that's
show.
That's right.
I feel like, Pastor Mark, we're going to have a respite today. Today feels like...
Not a respirator.
A respite. Yes, a respite. That was Pastor Mark Kirk, by the way. He's our senior pastor here at Calvary Knoxville and the one that's going to help us understand what is happening in the world today through the lens of God's prophetic word. This is episode 126. You can always get Signs of the Times anytime by subscribing to our podcast on Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Stitcher. Okay, so, you know a lot.
Well, I don't know about that. But.
You do. You're smarter than you think. But I don't let that go to your head. So here's some interesting facts that I've come across in our Did You Know segment. We haven't done in quite a while just because we've been busy with the coronavirus.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that today as well.
Yeah,
you've got some things to
weekend.
Share with us.
Yeah.
Yes. But did you know that cats can jump up to 7 times their tail length?
No, that's interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Who sat around and figured that out?
That's what I'd like to know.
Catch up, measure his tail.
Measure that tail.
That's 7 tails.
That
had to be done in Tennessee.
That had to be done in Tennessee. Yes, exactly. Now, this is very interesting, and I don't know how you do this. I could see how you can do it in the air, but I don't understand how you can smell things in the water. But sharks can sense a drop of blood up to 2.5 miles away.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
I knew they could smell it somehow, but I didn't know that far. That's pretty amazing. That's encouraging if you're ever in the water and cut yourself.
Yes, it is.
So this is kind of the good news part of it. This is the encouragement.
Yeah, so don't cut yourself in the ocean, please. Squirrels can climb faster in trees than they can on the ground.
Huh. Okay.
Which makes sense with their claws, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Stewardesses, let me ask you this before I say this. You type, right?
Yeah.
Now, are you a true traditional hands on the home row typer, or are you a hunter and pecker type?
Oh no, I'm true. I was trained.
You trained. Okay, same. Well, we're the same age, so we would get that same type of training in high school. Stewardesses is the longest word that is typed with only the left hand.
Wow,
I never thought about that.
Wow, that's interesting.
I never typed stewardesses before.
Of course, now they go by flight attendants. So
I know, so that messes the whole thing up. There goes that whole trivia right out the window.
But that's interesting.
Yes. And what is the most popular board game played in the world?
You would think Monopoly.
You would think Monopoly. And you would be correct.
Oh, okay.
See, I told you, you know so much.
Nah, that's just kind of a good guess. I mean, if you think about it, that's what people have in their home, Monopoly.
But let's see if you know this question.
All right. God made.
This is from James, Pastor Mark, and we love this too. So by the way, we love your prophecy questions. We absolutely love them. But if you've got just a Bible question, go ahead and send that in too.
Absolutely.
I mean, Pastor Mark is a certified prophetologist, one who specializes in prophecy, but he's also a regular pastor as well. So he knows other things about God's word. So James has this question. And so Pastor Mark, I don't know if you want to turn to the book of Joshua.
Yeah.
But of course, in the book of Joshua is the story of Rahab the prostitute.
Yes.
And this is one of the more perplexing, incidents in scripture, in the fact that Rahab was a prostitute, which is not necessarily perplexing to this question, but she lied about harboring spies.
Yeah.
And so James's question is, why do you think it is that Rahab was blessed when she lied about the spies' whereabouts?
That is such a great question. And the reason I wanted to answer it here on the air is because I've heard that question a lot. And I think there's a lot of other people that would have that question
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
And let me just say, first of all, it's reminiscent to me of what happened during World War II when you had people hiding the Jews in their homes, Christians. And the soldiers would come to their door and they would say, are you hiding Jews? And they would lie and say, no, I'm not hiding Jews. And then they would save all the lives of those Jews. Obviously, that was a good thing to do and the right thing. The moral dilemma is, I just lied. God said he hates lying. How does that work? You know, it really comes down, I think Jesus summed it up, Greg. I think in Matthew 9, where Jesus said this, he said, they asked him about the Sabbath. And they had had some, they were doing things that these guys disagreed with on the Sabbath, the Pharisees, Sadducees.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
The Lord made a point. He said, look, I desire mercy over sacrifice. And his point was, they weren't supposed to be doing anything on the Sabbath, and they felt they were doing something wrong. His point was, mankind's survival is more important than the letter of the law. If I could sum it in put it in just regular words and sum up what he was saying, mankind's survival is more important than the letter of the law. For example,
kind of like David and the showbread.
Yes, and if God, for example, if you have the old joke about, you know, again, a dilemma. You've got a starving Jewish person in the wilderness with a ham sandwich. What do they do? You know, people would hear, I remember hearing a joke like that. And I'll use that example. They would eat the ham sandwich. And here's why.
Yeah.
Because mercy is over sacrifice. God said, look, I care more about people's survival and who they are. I care more about them than the letter of the law. That doesn't mean the law is not important.
Right.
Doesn't mean that it's not God's word. That doesn't mean we don't follow it. What it means is this. When you have people that are about to die and be put to death, God says, you shall not murder. There was no reason they were to be put to death. They would have had to allow those in Jericho to break one of the Ten Commandments in order to not lie and to break a Ten Commandments. So two, you had the choice. A Ten Commandment was going to be broken. Either somebody was going to lie or somebody was going to die. And the bottom line is, God says mercy over sacrifice, human life is more important. And in those types of rare situations, what we see with that example of Jesus, what we see throughout history with such as protecting the Jews in World War II, what we saw with Rahab the harlot guarding the spies that came into Jericho, and then by God commending them, even it goes more than that. Remember the women who didn't kill the babies in Egypt. They were commanded to murder the babies in Egypt by the command of Pharaoh.
Right, right.
And again, that wasn't going against God's word, but again, the principle's the same. Human life is more important than the legal side of things. There's the moral law, there's the legal law, and the moral law outweighs the legal law. And Jesus made that clear when he used that example. So what Rahab the harlot did was the right thing. And today, if suddenly our society turned on the Jews today, and we were somewhere where we could hide the Jews, and we were asking, are you hiding Jews? Then I believe we should lie and say, no, we're not. And I know that sounds crazy to say a pastor saying that's what you should do, but I believe that Jesus used that example and sanctioned that. I think that God sanctioned it when he blessed Rahab and used her in the line of Jesus Christ himself as the Messiah.
That's a good point
to
make.
She was in the line of Christ.
She was in the line.
Of the direct Messiah.
Isn't that something?
Yes, and yet she chose to lie and go directly against one of the Ten Commandments. So what it shows is it's not the letter of the law. It is the mercy and grace of God. And there are instances where even directly breaking God's law, I believe, is okay in the eyes of God. And I think that was one of them. And that's a great question.
Wow.
It's kind of one of those contemplative, and people can go back and forth. But I think there are enough examples in Scripture to show that God certainly approved of that. That doesn't mean God approves of lying. As a matter of fact, he says liars will not inherit the kingdom of God. But in these types of instances, God gives his approval, and it's sparing human life.
Wow, that's great. That's fantastic. And James, thank you so much for asking that question, because no doubt there's other people that have wondered about that too. And if you've got a question like James reached out to us on our Facebook page at Prophecy Help on Facebook and sent us that question. You can also tweet us your question at Prophecy Help, or you can go to our website at thesigns.org and submit your question that way. Okay, Pastor Mark, so we are approaching... next weekend is Memorial Day weekend, right?
Yeah. Is it Memorial Day?
No, it's this Monday. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Monday's Memorial Day.
I'm so used to that falling on the very last weekend, and it's not. It is this weekend.
Yeah, but next weekend is the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
The 31st, the day of Pentecost.
Okay.
For Israel. And so that's significant to us as believers. But yeah, this is Memorial Day weekend this weekend.
So, well, why don't we talk about all that and everything that's on your heart for this first half?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk, and maybe some of you are watching the news right now. And again, I hope you're listening to signs. Obviously, you are listening to Signs of the Times. So, way to go.
But Pastor Mark's very upset with President Trump.
Well, you know, I talked to the president earlier, and he told me he wouldn't come on the air while we were on the show. There's a lie. Now, was that lie justified before God or not?
No, it was not.
That was not.
I'm condemned. You need to repent. Yes.
Anyway, but the president is about to come on the air and talk about the churches and the oppression of churches, really, I think, being overly oppressed here by the, especially the Democratic states in America.
State government, yeah.
Yeah, it's not happening really in the Republican states, but in the Democratic states, the church is being oppressed, if you will. And so the president's going to come on and talk about how, no, stop it. This is wrong. You want to go to church? Go to church. Use the proper precautions, especially in these states that are, again, led by Democratic governors that are really just putting the wall up there for churches while they're allowing even marijuana distribution centers to be open, liquor stores to be open, and all these other activities to go on. But for some reason, the church is being singled out. Now, we know the reason. It's spiritual. I don't know that they even know it's spiritual. They probably don't. But it is spiritual. Satan hates the church and he hates God's people. And this is a great way for him to try to squelch and discourage and hold them back. Now, in Tennessee, we have a governor who's saved. He knows the Lord. And we're blessed. We've been allowed to meet. I don't know how many churches are meeting. I know that Calvary Chapel now has been meeting for a couple of weeks in building. And we are doing the social distancing with masks, you know, just to kind of ease back into this. We're going to lower the restrictions even more heading into June. Maybe as early as the end of this month, we're going to start kind of getting things back to normal. But California and other states don't have the ability to do that. They legally will be in trouble. See, we won't legally be in trouble by meeting. They'll legally be in trouble by meeting. So the president is going to come out and give his support for them. And there's been some, I think, over 2,000 pastors have signed an agreement in California to have church this coming Sunday, even though the state has forbidden it. Now, here's a great example, again, of disobeying the law at a proper time. That is a proper use of civil disobedience. I agree with what they're doing in California by disobeying the governor. If I was in California, I would disobey the governor as well, and we would be having church this Sunday, even as we're doing here in Knoxville. Why? Well, the Bible says come under the governing authorities. We've talked about that, Romans 13. But when the governing authorities single the church out and they ask us to do something they're not asking everyone else to do, and or when it goes directly against God's word. See, it hasn't gone directly against God's word to tell churches not to meet while a pandemic's going through. That's just the government saying, please don't do this for now. Let's get everybody healthy. That's fine. But if it goes to the point to where now they're opening the doors up, but they're not opening up the doors for the church, okay, now you have a discrimination against believers, and it goes back to where Peter and John told the leaders there in Jerusalem. They said, don't obey God anymore, is what they told Peter and John. And Peter said, look, whether it's right to obey God or man, you decide, but we must obey God. And so now the churches there in California are saying, we must obey God, and they're obeying God. And, you know, we talked about, again, the Bible talks about in the last days, specifically God said, in the last days, the church needs to be gathering together. He says, the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together as believers, especially as you see the day of Christ and his second coming approaching. So we're watching the second coming about to take place with all the signs that are in the world for those who know how to see them. That means more than ever, the church should be gathering together. Now, was it wrong to put things off for a while? No. As I said, obey the governing authorities. Romans 13. Is it wrong to use social distancing and a mask for a while? No. But once the government opens everyone else up to gather, then if they don't allow the church to come back together with certain measures in place or however it's done, that's wrong. And that's what the church has to say. We can't obey that. We have to obey God. God is over man, if you will. So that's going to be happening in California. And they're choosing to obey God over man. The president's going to be supporting them here very shortly. So it's going to be interesting to watch how this all plays out. I would imagine the governor can do nothing. And if he does, he's going to have a huge backlash against him. But you know, Greg, it brings up a question. Now, this doesn't mean we don't gradually phase in and use wisdom. You know, we have coming in, wear masks, and we wear masks during the worship. Then we take them off during the teaching.
You're talking about here at our church,
here at Calvary Chapel, Knoxville.
Yeah.
And then we put them back on as we leave. And again, as we get into the end of this month in June, they're going to be relaxing them more. We'll exercise more freedoms, and we're going to ease back in. So I'm not saying be foolish. Just, you know, reject the authorities that are over us. I'm not saying that. Follow the authorities, use wisdom, phase it in. We're taking the freedoms they're giving us and we're phasing back in so that we can become normal again as a church in our normal operations. But there's something else I want to bring up in this. All that's fine, but again, there comes a point where it's done. We have to move on if they're letting everyone else move on, or else they're just squelching God and God's people.
Right.
And so we're to obey that. But I want to say this. Our number one reason for coming back together is not because of the Constitution. And this is where I want to give our Southern brothers, you know, and I'm a Southern brother. I grew up in the South. All of our churches in the South. I want to give you a little bit of an encouragement in this and make sure you don't get your mindset twisted around and backwards here. I love our Constitution. I love our nation. I love the freedoms that we have. There's no nation like this in America, and I enjoy those freedoms. And
we need no nation like this in the world.
In the world, yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. In the world. And we need to stand up for those freedoms,
yes.
Even fight and die for them like we've done in wars. We fought wars to have our freedoms. I agree with all that. And I, even though I'm a pastor, I would go to war to fight for the freedoms that we have. If we had some nation coming in trying to take our nation over and they needed the older guys to fight, man, I'd suit up and fight. And I wouldn't do as good as the young guys.
If you weren't called to be a pastor, I could see you being a military guy.
I absolutely would suit up and fight. It wouldn't bother me at all to fight for freedom and what's right based on the Word of God. I'll say that, based on the Word of God. Now, but let me say this. The reason that the church needs to start meeting again soon and meeting again in the right ways as everyone else is allowed to is not because I'm a citizen of America and I have these rights based on the Constitution. I'm glad that bonus point is there. I'm glad that tool is there. You know, when Paul was preaching the gospel, he used the tool of being a Roman citizen more than once to be free and, you know, to use his rights, so to speak. But Paul wasn't motivated by the Constitution of Rome. And we shouldn't be motivated by the Constitution of America. We aren't free because of that. We're free because Jesus Christ set us free. And we are first and foremost citizens of heaven. We are, our flag is heaven. Our citizenship is heaven, and God said, do not forsake the assembling together of believers, especially as you see the day approaching. So we need to move forward in that with our rights from heaven, our rights of being a heavenly citizen, and that should trump, no pun intended, that should trump the American Constitution. Again, it's great. I'm glad that's a bonus point. But we shouldn't be going back to church because the Bible says in the First Amendment, you can't stop the assembling of believers. That's great they do that. Whether we had a constitution or not, we need to soon get back together as a church because as citizens of heaven, we've been commanded by God to do so.
That's a good point.
And my concern, Greg, is that I see some people, even believers, they almost seem to be more American citizens than citizens of heaven in the stands they take. In other words, it becomes so political and so American that they lose the fact that that's secondary. You shouldn't be motivated because you're an American to do this, to do what's right. You shouldn't be motivated by the Constitution to have freedoms. Your motivation should be first and foremost the Word of God and that you are a citizen of a heavenly kingdom. That's our standard. We live by the standard of the heavenly kingdom, not by Republican or Democrat, not by political stand, not by the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. Those things have been given to us as a gift from that heavenly kingdom.
Right.
And
a blessing.
And I thank God for them.
Yes.
But our number one allegiance is not to our flag or to our Constitution or to the Bill of Rights or anything else. Those are wonderful bonus points. Our number one allegiance as a Christian is to God's Word, well, to God first, to God's Word, and to God's kingdom. So I challenge our listeners, are you motivated and what you're desiring to do by your emotions that are being raised up right now because of all this going on? Are your emotions rising because of heavenly citizenship and the Bible, or are your emotions being riled up because of the American Constitution and the Bill of Rights? Again, both are okay motivations, but the number one motivation for the believer has got to be the heavenly kingdom and God. So With that said,
and men have died for both.
Yes, they have. And so they should.
Yes.
And with that said, I completely agree with what they're doing in California. We prayed for the president, and I pray that God would bless him now. Lord, bless our president as he's sharing about what's going on with happening in this whole thing. And I know that what's going to happen here is, okay, let's use balance. Let's use wisdom. Let's move forward. We can go to Lowe's. We can go to Home Depot. We can go to anywhere. Let's go to church. And let's make sure we do it the right way, and let's be careful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to caution, you know, again, not just to go cavalier and totally throw everything out the door if you're a pastor or a church, but also don't be intimidated by people around you in the society that would look at you funny and say, how dare you do that? You know, we had a church burned down in Mississippi because they kept meeting. Now, again, they were raising up the ire because they weren't taking any precautions. They met the entire time this went on. Somebody burned their church down. That was horrible. That was absolutely horrible, and I hope they catch them and bring them to the proper prosecution. But my point is that we don't have to get in everybody's face to create agitation that could bring something like that, but we also don't want to be held back in our freedoms. We need to be free. Yeah. We need to be wise, and we need to move forward. Now, I want to say this again. Greg, we talked about it beforehand. I'm going to read a little bit of an article about the Spanish flu.
Okay, and before you do that, I want to bring up something real quick.
Sure, sure.
And I'm just going to brag on you a little bit. Only for this fact. And this really accentuates what you were just talking about in terms of where our allegiance should be. I think within any church, you've got people that are like maybe fearful, and they don't want to come out until the government says that there's not a trace of the coronavirus floating around anywhere. And then you've got other people that's like, you know, I don't care where it's at. I want my freedom. I don't want to wear a mask. I want to go and do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got two polar opposite, you know, positions, okay? And those exist within the church.
Right.
The problem is that sitting as the senior pastor and trying to honor God and honor the governing authorities
right.
and strike that balance, I think you would agree, has proven to be a very challenging thing to do.
Absolutely.
And probably maybe losing some on either side.
Yeah. And that's exactly what has happened
through the whole process.
Yeah.
But yet the goal has been driven by what the Bible is telling us to do. And really we're not in an unprecedented time, maybe in the duration or the severity of people acting, but the statistics you're going to share about the Spanish flu, this is not, you know, new to the world having a pandemic,
right?
But how we respond to that, and really your call as a pastor and being able to do that, you know, has proven to be challenging. And I only say that to be an encouragement for any other pastors that may be listening, that maybe have been faced with these same issues that you're being faced with,
right,
that you can also maybe offer some further encouragement to them as well.
I think that's great, Greg, because again, I want to, and this may be good to share a little bit, even to finish up the first half. We can talk a little more in the second if we
sure.
need to, but finish up the first half, you know, about this, because again, you're right. There are some on one side that are saying, you know, Pastor, you're crazy. I'm not even going to come back to church until you remove all masks and everybody can be normal. And they kind of make this stand, you know, almost like, you know, we're going to kind of stand against this, what the church is doing, and we're not coming back. And then you got people on the other side saying, how in the world could you ever meet? Don't you know people are losing their lives? And so you have this thing on both extremes, both ways. I think the answer, again, filters down from starting out in our mindset. And I'd say this to pastors and just fellow, you know, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Start from the mental position of you are in heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. You're not your position, your stand is not based on the American flag. It's not based on the Constitution, and it's not based on politics and your freedoms. It's based on heaven and the Word of God. And so what you do is you say, all right, I'm going to start from heaven. Here's my country. My country is a heavenly country, and that's where I'm from. I live here, and I'm going to honor it, but I'm from a heavenly country. I'm a pilgrim passing through. He's my Lord. He's my president. He's my leader. So what does he ask me to do? He himself said, come under the governing authorities, except where they tell you to go against the Word of God. And then he said, make sure that you put me first. So those are the two main directives on both sides. So our goal as a believer is put God first in all things, regardless of man. Make a stand. Don't back down. Make a stand on God and his word. Don't budge from it. Now, with that position in place, if the government, whom God ordained and asked you to come under, asks you to temporarily do something that is not maybe what you would like to do, but it's not really against the word of God, then you need to do that. Come under that and do it. Then we go to phase three. If they move on to a time where it's either something that is being treated unfairly, you're not in, from heaven's viewpoint, you're now being asked again to do something that goes against what God has asked you to do for no other reason than you're a Christian or a church. Now you answer back to your godly president, your godly kingdom, your Lord. Say, no, whether it's right to obey man or God, I choose to obey you. So you have to find that middle ground, and you're not going to please everybody. You're not going to please everybody. You know, we've got, again, people that make the stand, we're not coming back till masks are gone. And the others, well, we may never come back even when the government says it's okay because it's dangerous. But we have to, by honoring the government, we are honoring God and we are being a good heavenly citizen. But there does come an end to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the limit is where I say right now, I'm thankful the president, what he did. I can't hear it, but I watched a little of it. He's already done. He basically came out and declared churches essential for America. And the big argument has been only essential things can open. Stores, you know, this and that. He came out now and has made a declaration. I don't know if it's a executive order or what he's going to.
Right,
I don't know that yet.
Right.
But he's now declared churches are essential, which means that no state can say you can't meet because you're essential. And if they say that, you meet anyway, and then they'll basically see you in court. So there is a time where you do use the courts, and it's beneficial. But again, our kingdom is not of this world, and so we live by a heavenly kingdom.
Yeah. Well, we got a few minutes left, so let's talk about some statistics that really kind of support where we're heading.
Yeah, and I will. So I want to mention a couple things. You know, when the Spanish flu went through, and we can wrap it up here, I think.
Yeah.
When the Spanish flu went through, I want everybody to know, they also shut down churches, shut down theaters, shut down congregational things. They did that during the Spanish flu here in Knoxville as well. And it only lasted for about a month. And then when everybody came back together, the churches and all the businesses came back together, there was a slight spike in cases. It went back up, but then it leveled off and went right back down. During that time, there were, again, way more deaths than we've seen now. And I want to say this. People talk about the science. Should the church go back in Knox County? Look at the science. Look at the science, they say. Excuse me, they say. And that, of course, is separate from even the Word of God. But I was looking at the science today. And so far, I know the only statistics I can find for the flu in Tennessee from the CDC or anywhere, as late as I can get it, was 2017. And we had over 1,600 people die from the flu in 2017 in Tennessee. I don't know how many in Knox County, but that's quite a few people dying from the flu. We've had more people than that from the state, I think, die. No, we've only had 300. We've only had 300 die in the state. From coronavirus, only 300 now in the state. In 2017, we had over 1,600 with the flu. So the flu has proven to be way more deadly than this wave of coronavirus. I'm not saying that the coronavirus is not more lethal once you get it, but I'm saying we've had way more deaths, at least in 2017. And by the way, in Knox County, we have only had 5 deaths. Five's too many, Pastor Mark. Yeah, but it's way less than 1,600, and you're always going to have deaths, whether it's flu, corona, car wreck, lung disease, pneumonia, heart attack. You're going to have death. Death is a part of life, oddly enough. One out of every one dies. 10 out of every 10 die. And so the bottom line is, the science is telling us it is safe to go back to church. It is safe to go back to the mall. It is safe to go back. That's what the science is telling us by the numbers. Now, that doesn't mean we don't use precautions. I get the social distancing and mask. Okay. But I want to say this. Some people are saying from now on we have to wear masks and do social distancing. The WHO is saying, you know, the World Health Organization, this is going to be for the next 5 years we need these standards. God did not create us to be social distancers as a church. We're created to be huggers. Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. You know, thankful we're not doing that today, but that means be friendly and be intimate with one another.
Yeah.
So
have social distancing?
I believe very soon the church will go back to social undistancing. And I believe that's going to be in line with God's word. And I think we're going to see the church getting back to normal. And I believe you're going to see this thing blow over and it's going to be a done deal. And with only 5 deaths in Knox County, I think the chance of death from this in our county is infinitism. It's almost not even worth counting.
However, prophetically, according to God's word, Pastor Mark, when Jesus said that there would be plagues and pestilence and famines and earthquakes in various places,
that's right,
he was speaking the language. Does not the language speak in plurality? Meaning these things aren't just going to happen once.
Right.
But they're going to increase.
Yep, there'll be another one.
Sadly, there's going to probably be another one like this.
Right.
We don't know when.
But remember what the Lord said.
Yes.
As you see the day approaching, continue to gather.
Yes.
And all the
absolutely.
More. Absolutely. Not that we don't use wisdom. I get that.
Yep.
Maybe there's another month we have to wear masks and social distance. But we need to move on coming together as a church. We need to live life. We need to sing loud with all of our heart to Christ.
Amen.
We need to preach loud. Don't get too close because the southern pastors may
spittle.
You never know. Yeah. Either way, we need to worship the Lord. Yeah. And we're now getting back to time. It's time to start worshiping the Lord as the body of Christ again.
Absolutely. Well, folks, we've got lots of articles to get to. A lot about Israel this week for some reason, which, of course, is the apple of the Lord's eye prophetically. So we'll talk about that and other things as Signs of the Times continues. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WIAM-LP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
It's Crazy Money Day. Today, we'll look at the high cost of divorce. Hi, I'm Chuck Bentley with My Money Life from Crown. Amazon founder and CEO Jeff Bezos divorced his wife after 25 years of marriage. Their settlement gave her a 4% stake in the company, valued at $37 billion. They've got a parenting plan for their four children, and she plans to donate half of her fortune to philanthropy. Contrary to this crazy example, most divorces are surprisingly costly. A survey conducted by the online marketplace Worthy says women face a number of financial surprises when going through a divorce. Younger women were caught off guard more often than older women. First, they were unaware of the total size of their marital debt. This included their home mortgage, home equity line of credit, auto financing, credit card debt, 401k loans, and student loans. Some were surprised to learn that they would have to return to the workforce. They assumed child support or alimony would be higher or last longer. Some thought they could keep their home. The cost of health care insurance was shocking. Overall, they underestimated the cost of getting a divorce. On average, women's household income falls by 41% once divorced. This can be devastating when children are involved. Research indicates that married people experience less poverty and more prosperity than any other living arrangement, including being single or living together. The bottom line, marriage is good for your finances and divorce harms them. Did you know savings help eliminate financial fear? Once you save $1,000, you'll be better off than 40% of all Americans who save zero. Check out the Eli app today and download it at crown.org. That's crown.org.
A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
For some of you, you really have to prayerfully consider how you spend your time, your spare time, your free time. All of us have to work and all of us have to provide for our family. God has ordained that. There is that place where there is a need to care for the concerns that He's laid before us. But we all have spare time. What do you do in your spare time? How do you invest it? How do you spend it? What do you do with that extra time on a consistent basis? I mean, we all have days where we veg out, right? We're just so wiped out, man. But is that the entirety of your life? Are you just like a vegged out guy all the time?
You can learn more at edtaylor.org. Grow deeper in your love relationship with Jesus by visiting edtaylor.org. This has been A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to the second half of Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news. This is episode 126 for those podcasting. And it's Friday, May 22nd, but you could be listening to this anytime after the 22nd. And so we thank you for taking the time to listen to this program, and as we discuss articles of interest for this week that Pastor Mark found interesting enough to share with us in light of Scripture. And let's go to Israel, because this is some interesting stuff here. You would say, Pastor Mark, Israel is a nation even though unbelieving, has been fairly favorable towards the Christian.
They
because
have.
The Christian has treated the Jew favorably because
yeah.
God has said to do so. And we've talked about this on the show before, too. There's a supernatural thing when you give your life to Jesus that you just have a supernatural love for the Jew and the nation of Israel, and you can't explain it, especially when you never had it before.
Yeah.
Or maybe you even somehow hated the Jew, and you didn't even understand why you hated him, and now you love him, and you don't understand why you love him.
Yeah, I think God puts it there.
Yeah. Well, we've got a couple of articles here. Do you want me to give them to you one at a time, or you want to take them together?
Yeah, let's go one at a time.
Okay. All right, well, the first one is from timesofisrael.com. Israel weighs suspending the broadcast license of a Hebrew language missionary channel, and explain why that's an issue.
Yeah, and the word missionary just really reveals it. But notice Israel's media watchdog has launched an investigation into a U.S.-based evangelical network following allegations that its programming violated law by seeking to promote conversions to Christianity. That's the key.
There's the key.
International Christian Network, God TV, last week launched its Shaluna, Hebrew for hours, channel on local cable carrier Hot. Communications Minister David Amsalam wrote on his Twitter account that he would not allow any missionary channel to operate in Israel, not at any time or in any way. That's interesting. His name's Amsalam. Salam is part of the word peace, Jerusalem. Salam means peace. I wonder what Am means. I'll have to look that up. But he said, nope, you can't do it. Again, why? Because they're spreading the gospel. The Council for Cable and Satellite Broadcasting said it was conducting a hearing to determine whether to suspend Shaluna's license over broadcasting Christian missionary content to Jews, noting they had presented themselves to regulators as a channel for Christians. In a Tuesday statement, the media regulatory body said that HOT would be able to request a permit to broadcast the Hebrew language channel, but would have to present its content in an accurate way. In one promotional clip, Shaluna, God TV director Ward Simpson, tells viewers, "We're going to preach the Jewish Jews to the nation of Israel. I'm sorry, the Jewish Jesus to the nation Israel. They're going to hear the gospel presented to them in their own native tongue. The last thing we want to do is cause havoc in Israel, and the last thing we want to do is become a problem. Proselytizing in Israel is a very touchy subject," he added, but went on to say that preaching about Jesus was a mission. "This is what we do, and this is what we do as Christians." So here's the bottom line. It's okay if they were to put a program on there just for the Christians. The Jews don't discriminate against Christians going to church and being a Christian in Israel. They don't discriminate that against it directly. But so if you're doing a program for them, fine. What they say is, don't you dare try to talk us into Jesus. Don't you dare proselytize or try to convert us. And so how do you have a channel about Jesus called God TV that is not going to be proselytizing or leading people to the Lord? So now they allowed it, and now they've got a problem with it. They love Christians because we support them, but they don't love Jesus. They don't love the God of the Bible, our God, and their God, although they don't know him. So they're having a real problem with this as far as allowing it to go on. And again, it's one of the things where we love you, but we hate a part about you. And that causes a dilemma for them. God's put them in a real dilemma spot here. They have very few friends.
Yeah.
We're one of them.
We're one of them.
Yeah.
All right. Our next article, Pastor Mark, and I questioned this in our show prep if these two weren't the same, but you said that there's a different twist. So here we go.
Yes.
This is from BreakingIsraelNews.com. Evangelical TV host to Israeli government. Stop. Now this. Listen to that again.
Uh-huh.
Evangelical TV host.
Yes.
To the Israeli government saying this. Stop God TV from broadcasting missionary content aimed at Jews in Israel.
Well, I would say she's not evangelical.
Okay.
I think that she says she is, and maybe she's doing the gospel somewhere else, but this is a very misplaced person. And I found it interesting because it came out of Tennessee. Laura Cardoza Moore has called on the Israel government to ban God TV. She's standing with the Jews, basically, that are opposing the missionary work of this station. From broadcasting programs focused on converting Jews to Christianity. Cardoza Moore is the founder of Proclaiming Justice to the Nation. How about Proclaiming Jesus? Maybe that's the problem. Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, and the host of the award-winning evangelical Christian television program Focus on Israel. That's just odd. It's a dichotomy here, which formerly aired globally on God TV and is currently syndicated to tens of other Christian channels, reaching a weekly audience of billions. Again, she works through the UN, so the UN's connection, I guess, distributes, so you get the billions number because it's through the UN.
Gotcha.
That says a lot right there. She says, I have written to first of all, we should be preaching the gospel to the Jews and trying to reach them. Here's her statement. I've written to Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, Israeli Communications Minister David Amsalom, and the director of the government press office, Nitzan Shen, calling on them to ban God TV from airing missionary content focused at converting Jews to Christianity. In other words, I want their souls to be condemned. I'm doing my best to stop Jews from being saved and going to heaven. That's what she's saying.
Did she say why she's asking?
Well, let's go on. Okay. At a time when global anti-Semitism is engulfing the world, God TV should be using its platform to teach Christians about their biblical responsibility to stand with our Jewish brethren and the state of Israel. Instead, they've chosen to stand on the wrong side of history. No, she's on the wrong side of history.
Wow.
Empowering anti-Semites. She's saying basically you're making people hate the Jews more by trying to preach them the gospel, or you're making you're bringing a bigger rift between Christians and Jews. First of all, here's the bottom line.
That's crazy.
What she's saying is leave them alone. Let them go to hell. Don't interrupt what they're believing in their thing, because all you're going to do is cause more tension. It reminds me of those in Paul's day who were
saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God."
Well, yeah, that certainly
is. I was thinking of that.
Well,
yeah.
That's applicable.
Okay.
You know, that's that. But I was thinking more of this whole thing. You know, is don't get circumcised.
Oh, yeah.
Tell the Christians not to get circumcised, because if you do that, then you're going to face the persecution that the Jews face. So it was opposite. There were those trying to keep the Gentiles from facing persecution in their stand for Christ. And again, it's not that circumcision is here nor there when it comes to your faith, but they were more concerned about what people thought and their image rather than what was right in God's eyes. And her concern is she is more concerned about trying to keep the peace and don't try to tell them who they. She probably would say leave the Muslims alone as well, would be my guess. I don't know. But she goes on and says Christians have adopted false doctrines and traditions known as replacement theology. And I agree with her on that. That has mobilized their enemies. These false doctrines are what fuel the desire to force unbiblical principles on our Jewish brethren. What unbiblical principle? That they need Jesus Christ to go to heaven? You can't get to heaven without... That is the biblical principle. You've got to have Jesus Christ to get into heaven.
Is she a preterist in disguise, Pastor Mark?
I'm not sure her background. All I know is she's a false teacher. These false doctrines are what fuel the desire of unbiblical principles. She said God TV should be encouraging Christians to repent of the history of Christian arrogance and ignorance that has incited some of the worst anti-Semitism in history, including pogroms, Inquisition, and more recently the Holocaust. Of course, I agree with those. Instead, they should ask their Jewish brethren to teach them the Torah, as was stated by the prophets. Now, that may be a sneaky way of just saying, yeah, let them teach the Bible, but just the Torah, the first five books. Cardoza Moore included, in recent decades, millions of Christians have felt the call to stand with the state of Israel and Jewish people with no hidden agenda. Our only mandate to the Jewish people is to love and support them because they are God's chosen people. That's not our only mandate. Our mandate is also to share Jesus Christ and the hope of heaven with them. I put that part in. Let's go on. Any attempts to convert Jews or downgrade their religion will only sow that Judaism will only sow undue hatred at a time when we should unite. If teaching Jesus Christ to Jews...
Who was a Jew, by the way.
Yes, to Jews that are lost in Judaism... If that is a downgrade, I'm downgrading for the rest of my life, because that is the only true upgrade. And that is what sends you up to the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. She is a false teacher, a false prophet. I don't know her background. Probably her connection to the UN explains it. But it's like the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Yes, of course, we need to be sharing the gospel with the Jews and all creatures on the earth as the great mandate Jesus gave his disciples. Go into all the world, except the Jews, and preach the gospel to every creature, except the Jews, that they might be saved.
Except the Jews.
How ludicrous. No, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and you need him or you won't get there. That kind of stuff just really gets me upset.
Yeah. All right. Breaking Israel news also reporting, Pastor Mark, dated May 17th, that Jordan, the country of Jordan, is hinting that they will wage war with Israel if Judea and Samaria are annexed.
Yeah.
Should we be concerned about Jordan in light of prophecy?
Well, here's what we know in light of prophecy. Jordan is going to let Israel, the fleeing Jews, run from the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation down to Petra. So whatever this ends up being, they're going to be able to go down to Petra, that's for sure. I doubt it will end up in war, but I think he's just speaking hard language. And he doesn't say war here, but let me read this.
Jordan's wars king, and rumors of wars, though.
That's right.
This,
here's a rumor. You got it. Here's a rumor. Jordan's King Abdullah warned of a massive conflict. He didn't say he would do it.
Okay.
Well, no, I take that back. He says massive conflict between his country and Israel. But I'm seeing this as not necessarily meaning military conflict, but massive conflict here.
Yeah.
We've got a problem.
Yeah.
And Israel, if the Jewish state proceeds with annexing territory this summer in Judea and Samaria. I would be shocked if Jordan attacked Israel. In an interview with the German newspaper Der Spiegel, the Jordanian monarch reiterated that the two-state solution was the only way forward as a resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian dispute. And I quote, "What would happen if the Palestinian National Authority collapsed? There would be more chaos and extremism in the region. If Israel really annexed the West Bank in July, it would lead to a massive conflict with the Hashemite Kingdom." Again, that's the of Jordan, said Abdullah. He also suggested that his country could pull out of the peace agreement with Israel. And they do have, on paper anyway, a peace agreement. They do pass back and forth between borders. Jordan and Egypt as well, Egypt's included in that, are the only Arab nations that formally recognize the Jewish state. "I don't want to make threats and create an atmosphere of loggerheads, but we are considering all options. We agree with many other countries in Europe and the international community that the law of strength should not apply in the Middle East. So just because you're stronger, you shouldn't be able to take the land." The comments by the Jordanian leader come as several European nations are pushing for punitive action against Israel if the country forges ahead with annexation. EU foreign policy leaders are set to discuss the issue at a virtual meeting on Friday. Ambassador to Israel David Friedman said that Washington would not oppose the annexation after July 1st. So what they're saying is, we support you, Israel. You can annex that land and make it yours. Jordan and Europe is saying, no way, you better not. I hope they do it. Go for it. God gave you the land. Be bold and make a stand. And I think, again, even as we as believers need to make a stand, they need to be making a stand as well.
Pastor Mark, from IsraelToday.co, this is dated May 18th. For our regular Signs of the Times listeners, and Pastor Mark has explained to us the generational relationship, the family relationship between Saudi Arabia and Israel.
Yeah.
This headline will not come as a surprise to you.
Right.
But if you don't understand the connection between Israel and Saudi Arabia, you're going to be blown away by this headline, which says Saudi Arabia turns against the Palestinians.
Yeah, and Saudi Arabia has been traditionally an opponent to Israel, but they've always fought with them. But now when you look at the roots, like you said, Greg, Abraham had two children. He had Isaac and he had Ishmael. And Saudi Arabia, they are direct descendants of Ishmael. So what you have a family dispute. But you know what? Sometimes when time goes by, you kind of can make up with family members just because they're family. And sometimes when you see somebody else beating your brother up in the playground, you kind of wave. If you're mad at him and don't like him too much, you'll kind of start getting on his side a little bit because he's a brother.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening with Saudi Arabia. God's doing this in the last days, basically restoring the family. For decades, the Arab world maintained a fiery hostility toward Israel and a widespread belief that Palestine must be liberated at all costs. It was easy to do in the pre-internet era when the people at large, the so-called Arab street, could be kept in ignorance regarding the facts of the situation. Now, as average Arabs become increasingly informed about Israel and its conflict with the Palestinians, sentiments have shifted somewhat, at least among those not driven entirely by a notion of holy war. Today, the public is informed. There's a deluge of opinions against the Palestinian cause, explained Saudi writer Abdullah Hamid Al-Gobain in an interview this month with BBC Arabic. As for warming relations between Saudi Arabia and Israel, he said that it is no longer just public support for the normalization and building ties with Israel. Notice there's public support.
Right, yeah.
Our public has turned against the Palestinians in general.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, he says the change has a lot to do with the behavior of the Palestinians.
So God's just opened their eyes.
Yep. The Palestinians have not contributed anything, they said. We can say that they are emotional people whose behavior is governed by their feelings.
Amazing.
Isn't this? Because that's so true. Indeed, for the entire Muslim world, the Palestinian cause has always been based on emotions and religious convictions, despite Western efforts to paint it as a mostly political problem. That the Jews today exercise sovereignty over the lands once under the dominion of Islam is seen by pious Muslims as an affront. But at some point, here's their viewpoint now in Saudi Arabia. Strategic national interests start to trump, and I think Trump had something to do with their opinion, religious convictions.
Wow.
Now, it shouldn't do that for the believer,
right.
But I'm glad it's doing it for them.
Isn't that amazing?
It is in our strategic interest, he said, and in keeping with our future economic interests, to maintain real relations with Israel. Israel is an advanced country, and we can benefit from it. Isn't that great?
Wow.
It's
all
great.
You can say is praise the Lord
praise
for that.
Praise the Lord what God is doing.
Because that's answered prayer, really. I mean, we've been praying for a long time that the world's eyes would be open to the truth of the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians that we've chronicled ad nauseum on this program for years. So that's fantastic.
Well,
we could have saved that for the good news
that
category
because
we didn't have any in the category this week.
Yeah, but the thing is that I think they've known this for years, and I think others, if they admitted the truth, would know it, Greg. It's all emotionalism and Islam and the stand of this and that. But it's really exciting to me because one of the things I want to do, they believe now they have discovered the real Mount Sinai, the one that everyone has gone to, not being the actual one.
Which would be in Saudi Arabia.
They believe they found, the real Mount Sinai has now been discovered. It is still there with a black mountain, a split rock, and even 12 altars built around it. I mean, and it's in Saudi Arabia, which, by the way, is where God said that he went to, and where many believe Horeb was, Mount Sinai.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're opening it up to tourism now. They've hidden it for years because they didn't want to, I guess, give credence to the Jews and their right to the land. Well, Saudi Arabia now sees the benefit internationally.
There's an economic benefit right there.
Yeah, and also, really, I think for them, they're doing so good financially. For them, it's probably more of an international benefit of looking at being friendly and let's get connected to the world better. But they're starting to let tour groups come in, at least people come in. We're hoping to be able, we're going this year now to Israel, God willing, in October, and we're hoping to go again in 2022. And on the 2022 trip, our goal is to do an extension to Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia if they allow us in. So I read this and I get excited that doors may be opening for that.
Well, with oil prices dropping, it's good that they come up with another source of income as well over there.
So that's
right. You just never know. All right. Our last story for Israel, Pastor Mark, comes from timesofisrael.com. Of course, the European Union, great friends to Israel, tongue-in-cheek, says it won't recognize a unilateral Israeli annexation in the West Bank.
You know, I don't know if they don't recognize it because they're wearing a mask, a scarf, or but they don't recognize it at this point. Anyway, in a statement congratulating new government foreign policy chief Josep Borrell says the bloc won't accept any changes to the 1967 borders. That's absurd.
You don't understand how small that is.
That drives me crazy. A few miles across the whole land of Israel at one point. Anyway, unless agreed to in a deal with the Palestinians. So we're going to go back to these where you take more land away from the Jews, not give them more. The European Union's top diplomat on Monday warned Israel against annexing parts of the West Bank, saying the bloc would not recognize any changes to the 1967 lines not agreed upon in a peace deal between Israel and the Palestinians. International law is a fundamental pillar of the international rules-based order. In this respect, the EU and its member states recall that they will not recognize any changes to the 1967 borders unless agreed by Israel and Palestinians. That is, we are rejecting reality, Borrell said. I added that last part. Adding that only a two-state solution with Jerusalem as a future capital for both sides is the only way to ensure sustainable peace. They're basically saying, look, what Israel has now is not their land. He's not facing reality.
Right.
We strongly urge Israel to refrain from any unilateral decision to annex the occupied Palestinian territory. Well, I strongly would urge you to stay out of it because it's God's and he gave it to them. I'm sorry. I can't make commentary with these guys. All right, here we go.
That's okay.
presenting his new government on Sunday, Netanyahu said Israel's law should be extended over the West Bank land. Of course it should. These regions are the cradle of the Jewish people. It's time to extend Israel's law over them. This step won't bring us further away from peace. It will get us closer. The truth is, and everyone knows it, that hundreds of thousands of settlers in Judea and Samaria will always stay put in any future deal. Proposed steps include announcing that Israel would be prevented from entering into the trade agreements with the bloc, receiving EU grants, or participating in other forms of cooperation in the U.S. So we're going to hold back our benefits and if you do this. I say do it anyway. The Trump administration has said it will support the annexation of the West Bank territory claimed by the Palestinians for an eventual state as long as Israel agrees to enter peace talks. So he's got that middle of the road. Look, you go back to peace talks with the Palestinians. You guys talk again. I'll approve your annexation. Go for it. And so I'm excited to see what happens. I hope they do it in July. They're looking at July. I hope they do it.
All right, it's time for our smorgasbord of end times prophetic sewage, also known as pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. This is from Fox News, Pastor Mark. A federal study says hurricanes growing stronger, more intense, and climate change may be a factor.
Well, this is here's the bottom line. The Bible told us thousands of years ago that hurricanes would grow stronger and more intense. It didn't use that language, but what the Bible says, before I even read this, the Bible says that the earth is groaning and will groan more and more as we get closer to the return of Christ, which means climate change would have nothing to do with this. I don't know if there's anything legitimate to that or not. My point is God said this was going to happen. So whatever definition you want to give it, it's exactly as God said was going to take place. Hurricanes have grown stronger in almost every region, it says, of the world over the past four decades. And they say that climate change may be a factor. The problem is that I'm going to stay away from that right now.
Okay.
The study published Monday and conducted by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the NOAA or NOAA, and the University of Wisconsin-Madison Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies, SIMS, analyzed 40 years of enhanced infrared satellite imagery of tropical zones. Our results show that these storms have become stronger on global and regional levels, which is consistent with expectations of how hurricanes respond to a warming world. Let me say that. I'll be finished reading. I'll make a comment. It's a good step forward and increase our confidence that global warming has made hurricanes stronger. No. They're saying, I believe it has nothing to do with global warming. The Bible says in the last days, God will cause the earth to groan. It will groan whether God wants to heat it up, whether God wants to cool it down, whether God wants to do whatever.
He made it. He can do whatever he wants to.
Yes, it's not global warming. It's God controlling. God is doing this. The Bible says in the last days it's going to happen. It is happening. We're going to see more and more natural upturnings, stirrings, whether it's, as I said, getting hotter, colder, worse storms, less storms. You're going to see all kinds of bizarre things happening in our environment and our community because of this. And as I said, the Bible very clearly indicates our environment's going to be fine, Greg, all the way until the second coming of Christ, or we wouldn't be here. People wouldn't be here. Not that we're not to be good stewards and take care of it. I get that. Let's do that. But our concern should not be climate change. Our concern should be, do we know Jesus Christ, and are we going with him when he comes back to get his church? That is our focus. That is our concern as citizens of the heavenly kingdom.
Mm. Speaking of the church, our last article of the day comes from our church category. From Breaking Israel News, former Pope's opposition to gay marriage causes friction with the current Pope. Now, I'm gonna say, you know how those people get you so upset when they try to touch the land,
right?
And they're making these inane arguments,
right?
I feel the same way. I feel like if you were Rush Limbaugh, I would be Bo Snerdly when it comes to the Pope. Because this stuff just bothers me to no end,
yeah.
Because he's leading people astray.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, maybe they should just kind of have a holy water gun fight, just settle this thing.
I'm a former Catholic, so I can be the official Pope criticizer.
Well, I read a priest, one priest was using a water gun to shoot people with holy water because they couldn't touch during COVID-19, so that's where I thought of that. They showed a picture of him squirting people with a water gun.
Interesting. And they did helicopter flyovers blessing towns as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Either way, listen to this. A schism or schism, however you want to say
schism.
It. Schism. Yeah, from whatever part of the country you're in, you'll hear it both ways.
Oh, will you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. The schism,
I've heard it both ways.
Schism and schism, it's like tomato-tomato,
is
taking place that is tearing the Vatican apart. The 93-year-old former Pope Benedict...
Pope Benedict, yeah.
Yeah, Pope Benedict just released his authorized autobiography in his native Germany.
Mm.
The book ends with an interview between Benedict and the journalist Peter Seewald, in which a former pontiff sharply attacked gay marriage, abortion, and scientific methods of conception. At least he stands in some of the right places. A century ago, anyone would have thought that it was absurd to talk about homosexual marriage. Today, those who oppose it are excommunicated from society, he said. It's the same thing with abortion and creating human life in a laboratory. Modern society is in the middle of formulating an anti-Christian creed. The fear of the spiritual power of the Antichrist is then only more natural, and it really needs the help of prayers on the part of the entire diocese and the universal church in order to resist it. These views set him at odds with his successor, Pope Francis, who has a far more conciliatory approach to homosexuality. Though he does not advocate for same-sex marriage, he's taught that homosexual tendencies are not a sin. Speaking about gay people in 2013, Pope Francis said the key is for the church to welcome, not to exclude, and to show mercy for not condemnation. If a person is gay and seeks God and has goodwill, who am I to judge? The problem is not having this orientation. We must be brothers. Now, again, he did okay till he said, who am I to judge? The Bible says that there is a righteous judgment within the church that we're to judge if there's sin. The Bible clearly says that homosexuality is sin. Pope Benedict and Pope Francis are polarized theologically. Again, both of them have their issues. And, of course, the Catholic Church has its issues in many different ways. The bottom line is, look, it's not what particular sin you do. It's, do you have sin that needs to be repented of? And as we come to a close here, I want to say this. If you think you're a believer or call yourself a Christian, if you're living in open, continual sin, you need to repent. And that means you need to confess it to God and turn from it.
Any sin.
That's right. Because if you live that way as a lifestyle, the Bible says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I encourage you to challenge your heart today. Am I living in sin or am I just stumbling in sin? Two different things. If you're living in sin and you know it, then I want you to confess your sin to God, ask God to forgive you, repent of your sin, and get ready, because Jesus Christ is coming back. You know, before the king came, they would make the roads ready and fill all the potholes and do all that. Right now, I believe the potholes are being filled, the roads are being straightened out, everything's being ready and made way for our King, Jesus Christ, who's coming very soon. Make sure you don't miss the party. We want you in the kingdom with us, and that only comes through confession, repentance, and Jesus Christ to Gentile and Jew across the world. And that's the hope we offer right now.
Amen. You can read the articles that we discuss. You can listen to prior programs. You can read news that comes from our friends at Watch.org throughout the week. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question. You can do all of those things at thesigns.org. Have a great weekend, everyone, and make sure to come back next Friday at 1:30 as we discuss and learn more things that are signs of the times.